from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You know, I can't... Oh, that's the end of the sentence. I just can't. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. The foremost electrifying hours of sports talk entertainment that you will find anywhere at any time starts right now. Happy Tuesday morning, my dudes and dudettes. I hope all is well and right in your world. My name, of course, is Rob Brown. Over on the other side of the metaphorical glasses, I am the guy in charge of this program and every program that you've ever enjoyed on the radio. He, of course, is the great one, Lonzo, a.k.a. The Variable, is in the house as well. Good show lined up for you today. We've got a lot of college football. The AP Top 25 came out yesterday. I like the guy at the end. I've never really listened to that. The guy at the end goes, the hell is wrong with you?
Me either. I just now noticed that too. We're usually talking over it, so I didn't, yeah.
The hell is wrong with you? That's really funny. I've never caught that before. Many things, generic guy in a free, royalty-free clip that we play. Many, many things.
Well, actually, it's from our company, so that means some guy actually stood in the back of the room and yelled that when they put it together.
Which is why that guy decided to yell, the hell is wrong with you? Really funny. AP Top 25 comes out, shocking to exactly and precisely no one. Georgia voted number one overall. They also took home the largest chunk of first place votes by not a small margin over number two, N Ohio State University. Oregon 3, Texas 4, Alabama rounds out the top five of the AP Top 25.
Minor correction, I caught your "and" in there. I got that. You know, I know it's 6 a.m. in the morning, 6:02:48, whatever.
Yeah, no, I definitely didn't do that on purpose.
Yeah, of course.
That would have been disrespectful.
That would have been mean. You don't do mean things.
Yeah, of course. If someone says, this is how I want you to refer to my sports team, obviously you're obligated to do that.
No, there's more than one Ohio University in Ohio, so you have to say "the" so you know which one you're talking about.
But there's only one Ohio State University, which, I mean, technicality makes it the, but you know who else it makes the?
No, but
it makes every other school the whatever they are.
No, it doesn't.
Sure it does. There's more than one state university in Florida.
People like you, Rob, is the reason why "the" didn't get copywritten.
That was so, so dumb, dude. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not one of the guys that feels compelled to bag on Ohio State University. I'm not. But trying
that's
to cop,
you're not a Clemson fan.
Trying to trade? No, it's not. I'm not a Clemson or any other team in the Southeast fan.
Right. If you were a Clemson fan, you'd be obligated to as you say, bag on Ohio State.
I mean, maybe
used that
so.
Term before, so I don't. I mean,
maybe
I'm
so.
Guessing that's bad.
But trying to trademark the word V is just hilarious, man. It's just it smacks of insecurity. Is what it does. It was wild when it happened. It still is now.
All right, my top row is disappearing. So they've decided to go into a second page and start erasing my page.
I don't think anyone intentionally did that.
Oh, come on.
It's just the program stinks.
It's Cole. I've had a discussion with him before about.
And he said, "Yeah, my bad. I deleted your stuff."
No, he just he laughed about it with that evil laugh.
Yes, we all know Cole Bryson, the Lord of Darkness.
The meanest person in this building, yes, absolutely. He laughed about it. He thought it was funny, and now my top row is gone. After I went through the trouble of creating a whole other page so this kind of crap wouldn't happen, now my top row is gone, and I got to remember what was up there.
I hope I meet evil Cole one day. Does he have like a goatee versus regular Cole?
So you've already felt the effects of evil Cole. I'll tell you later.
All right, so we got a lot we need to get into on the show today. We'll get into the AP Top 25 and some of the reactions to it. Clemson did catch a ranking. They start the season at number 14, one spot behind LSU, one spot ahead of Tennessee, two ahead of Oklahoma. Florida State does catch a ranking as well. They start just inside of the top 10 at number 10. Michigan is number 9. The Penn State University is number 8. The Notre Dame is at number 7. The Ole Miss is at number 6. The University of Alabama at number 5. The University of Texas, number 4. The University of Oregon, number 3. And, of course, the Ohio State University at number 2, Georgia, tops your AP Top 25 out of the gate.
Sorry, I'm going to be mad about my cartwheel for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I can tell.
Punk.
That rapscallion.
No, be considerate of others and realize that it's not just about you.
I don't think he did it on purpose.
It's about the team. Dude.
You think he did it on purpose?
I told you, I don't think he cares.
That's not what I asked you. I said, do you think he did it on purpose?
When there are no repercussions for your actions, of course you do things on purpose.
So you think I'm here for the... I'm here for the rivalry that is starting.
Oh, no, I'll just take his producer away. I mean, you know, I mean, I can do that. He's needed elsewhere. And so good luck on your own, buddy. Leave my cartwheel alone.
All right. So AP Top 25, we will react to that coming out the show. We didn't get to it yesterday. I wanted to. We didn't get to. We had a lot of football discussion that we needed to get into on the show today. We will get to it today because I'm curious, and NASCAR fans, it's your time to shine. How do we feel about the Austin Dillon win in the Cookout 400 on Sunday evening at Richmond, Virginia? I'm interested because there's two elements to this conversation that I think are important. Number one is the fact that this race was sparsely attended. Now, this race was the first race back after the NASCAR circuit did take an Olympic break, which was interesting because NASCAR is, you know, not an Olympic sport yet.
Yeah,
yet.
I was wondering about, yet. You know, why they would do that. Maybe there's like some athletes involved, you know, like sometimes people work at Home Depot, but they're also an Olympian. Maybe there was someone on a pit crew somewhere who was an Olympian.
I didn't hear the story if there was. What I can say is NASCAR obviously has a season that is 73 weeks long in the 52-week calendar. It's like it never stops. So I imagine
sounds
it was
like baseball.
It was just a good opportunity for them to take a break, for them to just take a couple of days off. It is a high-intensity sport, a labor-intensive sport, although we watch on, you know, Sunday afternoons or night or whatever, NASCAR garages never stop working. There's never a spot where they're not, you know, changing tires or experimenting or whatever. And so I imagine a good chunk of it was just to take a break. It was a good reason, a good excuse to take a break. So I wonder if having been off for 2 weeks and letting whatever news was out there, rivalries that were building, cool off a little bit, was a part of the reason that this race was sparsely attended in person, A, and B, there really wasn't a lot of talk about it on social media. But number two is a conversation that's been ongoing around NASCAR for a while. And that is, has the sport changed too much? Now, I am not a believer in this, and we will talk about this coming up in just a few minutes from now. I don't believe this, but I've got a lot of friends and family that are NASCAR fans that do. That NASCAR has kind of softened up a little bit. NASCAR isn't the sport it used to be. NASCAR isn't the aggressive bump and run contact sport that it used to be. And so we got to the end of this race with Austin Dillon, coincidentally enough, driving the number 3 car. Of course, the same number that Dale the Intimidator Earnhardt used to drive. And Dale was absolutely a guy that would shove your ass up or down the track as he needed to in order to put his car into victory lane. Well, Austin Dillon did that with the 3 car this weekend. He took out Joey Logano and Denny Hamlin within the last 500 yards of this race. He got down into the back left corner panel of Logano, sent him down the track. Then he ended up in the back right of Denny Hamlin, sent him up the track into the wall, was able to squeeze by both and get the win. Austin Dillon needed the win because we're getting late in the season. Dillon was sitting down around 30th place in the overall point standings, which for a guy that is expected to be competitive for a championship is real bad. So it's gotten to the point where Austin Dillon was not going to be able to race his way in just by earning enough points. Austin Dillon was going to have to win a race to earn a guaranteed playoff spot if he was going to find his way into the NASCAR postseason, which is only a few weeks away. And knowing that he was going to have to earn a win to get in, Dillon took out two cars. There is no question. This was not a oopsie daisy. This was a genuine, legitimate wreck. Like, intentional. There's not a question about it. Wrecked two cars on his way to the checkered flag, which he did win and therefore earned himself his guaranteed playoff spot. Now, drivers have spoken out about it. Crew chiefs have spoken out about it. And now the NASCAR vice president for competition has spoken out about it, saying, we don't like taking wins away from racers. We feel like that sets a dangerous precedent. But there's no doubt that this was close to crossing a line. Is that bad for NASCAR? Is it bad for this sport? A sport which I think plenty of us can say we watched and enjoyed back during the old Rubens racing days. I think Dale Sr. is the most celebrated NASCAR driver of all time. You go to any track any given night and you will still see people rocking the 3T and the 3 Tat. He is one of the most celebrated drivers of all time, and part of the reason why was that method of driving. The fact that if there's you, him, and a checkered flag, if you not finishing your day means he finishes his day with a win, good luck, bud. Good luck. Because he's putting you into a wall to get that win. And he celebrated for it. But over the past couple of years, NASCAR has gotten away from that. It has gotten to be more of a race style of you respect your fellow drivers and you do everything you can to make sure as many cars as you can finish the race. And here comes Austin Dillon driving the three car, that same number three that Dale Sr. used to drive to victory lane. And he very clearly takes out not one, but two separate cars en route to the checkers. Is that bad for a sport that, again, is it dying? No. But it's not growing either. Does that type of driving, does it help? Will it get more people involved, interested? If you know that inside the last 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 laps, there is an increased likelihood that, you're going to see somebody make those kinds of moves.
I've seen the video a couple times of the end of that race, and it looked like a NASCAR movie.
It very much does.
That's how what was that? What, something Thunder with Tom Cruise? What
Days
was?
Of Thunder?
Days of Thunder, yeah. Tropic Thunder got in my head.
Very different movie.
Yeah, I know.
Also a great movie.
I knew it was wrong.
Also a great movie.
It wasn't the right movie that I was thinking of.
What do you mean, you people?
Well, anyway, so Days of Thunder, so make me think of Cops for some reason, was a good movie. But at the end, I mean, there was a lot of that stuff. And that's what that looked like. It looked like something like that.
For sure. And so here's the question. Actually, I really like that you said that. We'll throw this question out. Then we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about it. It was a very Days of Thunder ending. Is Austin Dillon the good guy or the bad guy if it is a movie? If it's a movie, is Austin Dillon the young up-and-comer who's got to make something incredible happen from the rear of the pack and drives uber-aggressively and knocks out a couple of old guys to get himself into the postseason? Or is Austin Dillon the young, reckless driver who ends up creating problems on the track by overdriving it? I like putting it that way, and we will try our best to answer that question when we come back. The Great Milanzo and the Ones and Twos.
And this cart's called How We Drive. Sometimes things happen.
Fitting. The Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone's open, 844-326-3663. You can text us at 71307, 71307, start your text with fan. You guys frequently ask, how do you determine what gets talked about and what doesn't? The answer is what you react to. So NASCAR fans, you want more NASCAR? You want us to talk more about your sport on the show? You better get involved with the conversation. Austin Dillon's run on Sunday night, good or bad for the sport? We'll talk about that when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Okay, I just needed to make sure it worked before I read the next text, which says, well, let me set the conversation up.
Is that the same tone? That sounds different.
It does sound different, but it is the same one.
Okay, as long as that's...
No, we're good. Just make sure.
Okay, because if it's the wrong tone, that could be bad for us. We could get in trouble. So it just sounds weird.
I think we're good. Here's the conversation. The Cookout 400 ran on Sunday night in Richmond, Virginia. It ran in front of a relatively sparse crowd for a racetrack that is traditionally viewed as one of the most, historic, one of the legacy tracks on the NASCAR circuit in Richmond. Very sparse crowd, and as somebody who watches NASCAR, and as somebody who is usually at least quasi-active during NASCAR races on social media, I will say that this race generated very little interest, which is weird because if a sport takes a two-week break, you would think that when it made its return, you would have a pretty healthy recognition of that return from fans, right? Do you imagine if we played 10 weeks of college football and then took a two-week break? That return from that two-week break would be, it would be enormous, right? Like, it would be all we talked about for those last 3 or 4 days going into the weekend. And I acknowledge that I am part of the problem because I do have, with this microphone right here, I do have a minimal amount of power when it comes to what the attention of the sports world is here in the upstate. Because while I have an obligation to talk about the things that you guys are interested in talking about, while I do have an obligation to talk about the things that y'all want to get to, I do also have the ability to talk about whatever I want to talk about and control the narrative. That's a weird way to say it. Control the topics, not the narrative about them. Well, I mean, I do have that power. I don't wield it because I am a kind and benevolent show host. But I do have the power. I got the power. So.
Just watching you dig out of that hole.
Yeah. I was trying to dig out, and then I realized, you know what? I don't want to dig out. It's true. All right?
It's comfy down there.
I do have the power. Yes. I make my home at the bottom of this hole that I've dug myself. So I could have talked about it more. Probably, frankly, should have talked about it more. I probably should have last week on Thursday or Friday said, hey, you know, we got a race coming up. It's in Richmond. Cookout 400. Interesting track. Shorter track. Means there's the possibility of some chaos. Boy, howdy, would I have been right if I had said that. Yo. So I could have probably talked about it more. So it is on me to some degree. But I would also make the argument that when it comes to what I am going to bring up and set up, a lot of it comes from y'all. A lot of it comes from what do you react to? When I say X, does the stream chat pop off? Does the text line light up? Do the phone calls come in? What is it that you guys react to? Because that's kind of what I have to dive into. And over the last couple of years, even, I have made the recognition that NASCAR has become something that has gotten less and less of a reaction over the last few years. When I moved here, NASCAR was something I regularly brought up on the show, and regularly I got response to it. Not the response I got from NFL talk or college football talk or even Braves talk. But I did get reaction. And the last probably 10 races of last year and pretty much this season with the exception of like the Daytona 500, it's really gotten none. So the question always gets asked whenever we talk about Major League Baseball and NASCAR primarily, what can those sports do in order to regenerate and rejuvenate interest in them? We've talked about baseball. One of the arguments that I've heard Lonzo make the argument, I've heard Diesel make the argument, I've heard Mark Ryan make the argument. One of the things I've heard before is baseball can decrease the length of the regular season. Take it from over 180 games down to, heck, 150, 140. Cut a third of the season off. And shorten the regular season up so that you have fewer injuries playing into it. Fans don't have to feel like they're obligated to follow, you know, 5, 6, sometimes 7 games a week of their favorite team every day, a 2.5-hour game. These are all ideas. And whenever I've brought this conversation up about NASCAR and asked the question, what can NASCAR do to rejuvenate interest? Very rarely, though not never, does somebody bring up the concept of go back to letting NASCAR be a physical contact sport. go back to allowing guys to put each other into the walls and whatnot. And so here we go, Cookout 400 at Richmond, sparsely attended, very little interest generated on the interwebs. And I feel like I'm dialed in enough in that world that I can be a gauge of whether that is true or not. And it is. Here comes Austin Dillon in the three car. He's in the somewhere around 30th in overall points, racing into the playoffs via points. Unlikely for the number three car. He was going to have to get a win and earn an automatic qualifier position. So he starts the restart in third place. He's got Logano and Hamlin ahead of him. Looked like he was going to have the opportunity to drive away. Couple of restarts, couple of pits, shuffled up the pack a little bit. And here we go into the final back half lap. He comes up onto the rear of Joey Logano. Logano is, of course, blocking the track. He's got to run it second, right? Probably not going to catch Denny Hamlin, but sometimes you just got to look and go, points matter. Second place finish is real good. I'm just going to block up the track. I'll let Denny win it, but I'm going to make sure I get second. Nobody's going to pass me. And Austin Dillon says, yeah, no, I'm not good with that. So Dillon drives the nose of his car directly into the bumper of Joey Logano. He lifts the rear end of Logano's car. It spins Logano down the track and then around in a circle and up into the wall. As that's happening on the final lap, and in the final lap, NASCAR a lot less eager to wave the caution flag. They want this track to be finished under a green flag if at all possible. So they let it go. And then here comes Austin Dillon. Gets up the track, does end up catching up to Denny Hamlin. Gets up to Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin doing the same thing. I'm going to block you. I'm not giving up the checkered flag. You're going to have to fight me for it. Austin Dillon puts the front left of his car into the back right quarter panel of Denny Hamlin and spins Denny Hamlin up into the wall. Hamlin ends up bouncing off the wall, coming back down, bouncing back up the wall again, and ends up basically grinding the wall across the start-finish line while Austin Dillon, phew, right past him, and gets the win. Now again, Dillon has to win a race. There are what, I think three regular season races left? Had to have a win in one of them to get into the playoff. He was not racing his way in on points. And so the question that did pop up afterwards, because then the social media sphere shifted. None of my NASCAR buddies were texting me throughout the course of this race. That happened, I got four. Within a minute, I got four buds that talked NASCAR with me that were like, yo, about that. But what I found interesting was that those text messages were very, very split up, right? One guy that was like, yo, bleep Austin Dillon. That's not all right. One guy that said, in fact, Joey B texted the show, texted me, said, I will never feel sorry for Joey Logano getting wrecked because of his history, but Dillon then wrecking Denny Hamlin was bleeping Bush League. He's going to have half the field gunning for him the rest of the season. I'm like, yeah. Does that not make you want to watch a little bit? Does that not make you want to tune in a little bit? Does that not pique your interest a little bit? That now there's a guy out there circling the track that is going to have a bullseye on his back. He's going to have a target on him at this point. Because a lot of other drivers are going to look at that and go, yeah, that's not cool, bud. That's not cool. And I think it may have been, and I don't have the quote in front of me. I wish I did. But one of the drivers, I think it was Denny Hamlin, that was like, yo, look, that's part of the game and we all get it, but you got to pay the piper for those kind of moments. You can win like that, but you have to understand when you do that there are repercussions. Guys are going to pay you back. And does that, my question is, does that pique your interest? Is that good for the sport? Is it good for the sport that, as Tracy just said on the Facebook chat, the three car does three car things? Which, yeah, absolutely. He said the three car does three car things. People are talking about NASCAR again. I guess it speaks for itself. And I don't disagree with that. Like I said, going into and through 99% of this race. None of my buddies were texting me about NASCAR. I'm on Twitter. It's not generating conversation. It's just a race that's happening in the background while the Olympic closing ceremonies are going on. There's not much talk to it. And then after that, it was trending on Twitter. It went from nothing on Twitter to trending on Twitter in literally a matter of a minute after that moment. But on the flip side, how does that make you feel about racing, right? Like, is that good? Is that good? Lonzo, as we were wrapping up the last segment, said something very interesting. He said, it felt like the end of a Days of Thunder style movie. Felt like a NASCAR movie. Here comes his kid, back of the pack, got a win to give himself a chance, fights his way up through the field, and then drives aggressively to take out a couple of guys. And I agree with that, except for, I could also make the argument that the movie features Austin Dillon as the bad guy.
Right, because NASCAR needs a heel champion. NASCAR doesn't thrive with a babyface champion. They've got to have a bad guy. They've got to have someone who doesn't take any crap from anybody and basically says, get out of my way, I'm going to win.
Sure.
They need that to get people to watch. If they have a babyface champ, no one cares.
And I don't disagree, but this is why, to me, NASCAR is so damn interesting. It is because Jeff Gordon was the heel driver for a long time, but there was nothing heel about the guy. He drove a rainbow car and talked like he was from California, and that was it.
That made him a heel to a lot of people, though.
Sure, but he had all the babyface tendencies, but was considered a heel on the NASCAR circuit for that reason. Here's the thing. There's no personality out of Austin Dillon, except the fact that he's willing to wreck out cars in order to win a race. Does that do anything, or is it more important that we have drivers with personality? Because a lot of people dislike Denny Hamlin because he gets out there and he will, into an open microphone, say, yo, that guy or that guy. And it's like, oh, I can root against that guy, or I can root for that guy. Is Austin Dillon doing stuff like this, or drivers doing stuff like this at the end of races, a good thing or a bad thing? We got a text a minute ago real quick. Want to read it before we take a break, if I can find it, because it's down in the... Nah. Anyway, the texter said something to the effect of, Denny Hamlin did nothing wrong. Logano and Hamlin are baby faces. And again, like, whatever, if that gets you to watch the sport. Does it intrigue anybody who has checked out? Is that a reason to come back? Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You know, sometimes it's just right in front of your face and you miss it. And I have to acknowledge the great one pointed out to me during the break that there is a branding opportunity on the table for Austin Dillon right now that I just missed. I just missed when we were talking the last segment. And I'm not gonna spend a bunch more time on it, though I will spend a little more time on it because I love NASCAR. I have been a fan since college. I was not a fan in high school. I became a fan in college because I went to college. I had a buddy of mine that I'm still dear friends with. Buddy of mine that I went to college with, big NASCAR guy. And he did the same thing for me that got me into soccer. He said, come watch a race with me. I will buy the brewskis. If you don't have a good time, you got some free beer at a bar for a few hours. And I was like, sure, why not? We went and watched the Talladega race. He laid it on the table about what was happening and why. And I was like, oh, all right, I get it now. I understand now. And ever since then, I've loved the sport. I think it's a great sport. I do think it is one of the sports, and I know this makes me sound a certain kind of way, but I think it is one of those sports, and I don't think it's a bad thing to say this. I just think it comes across a certain kind of way. I think it's one of those sports that does not make sense until you get it, right? Until you dig in, until you dive in. It is one thing to turn on the TV and see a bunch of cars going fast and turning left. That's what I used to say about NASCAR. Why am I going to watch a bunch of guys drive fast and turn left? I still make that joke even as a NASCAR fan. Let's get up on Sunday and watch some drive fast, turn left, right? But I think it takes some time. I think it takes some time to really dive in to understand how much is going on at any given moment. How much is going on with the driver? How much is going on with the car? How much is going on with the pit crews, with the chiefs, with the decisions, with the strategies, with the tire wear and tear, with the decisions on fuel? All these going on. And then you'll get into the conditions inside of the car when these guys are spinning circles, not just for 3 hours, but inside of a heat box that's 130 degrees in a full fire suit with very little to comfort them, right? So I love all that. And all that being said, I am always looking for ways to try to get the opportunity to get people into it. I take as often as I can. I like taking people to their first NASCAR race. Since I've moved here, I've taken probably 6 or 7 people to their first NASCAR race at Charlotte, either the 600 or the Roval. As a matter of fact, in October, I will be going back up to Charlotte to tailgate and go to the Roval again. My little brother's coming up. We're meeting a group of friends, but the little brother is coming up and bringing my nephew. It's going to be his first big-time NASCAR race. He's seen short track. Local short track racing, but it'll be his first big time NASCAR race. Really excited, meeting a couple of the guys, and I don't know who it's going to be yet, but somebody's coming with me for the first NASCAR race, and I can't tell you how many people I've gotten to a race that they go, oh, I get it now. I understand it now. It makes sense to me now, and a lot of that has to do with picking a guy, picking a driver, right? How many times have you heard me say this? It's easier to get into a sport when you have a rooting interest in the sport. This is why the way that I have found to get people into soccer is not to get them to watch Chelsea and Man United. It's not to get them to watch LA Galaxy versus Orlando City. The best way I found to get people into soccer, into footy, is to take them to a Greenville Triumph game. To bring them to a game in person, to root for a group of fellas that are wearing their city across the front of the jersey, right? Now you got a rooting interest. I want to declare upstate superiority over the Charlotte Independents. I want those folks in Charlotte to know that we're real. Or Knoxville One, or whoever. I want them to know GSP is where it's at. And so when you put that into them, when you give them a rooting interest, that's where it goes. That's what happened to me. I told you about the story. My buddy Mark from college took me to watch a NASCAR race, took me to a bar, had never really gotten into it. All my uncles, big NASCAR guys. They love it. My Uncle Jared's garage is a shrine to NASCAR. All right? He's got stuff dating back to like the old, like the old days hanging in there. Great memorabilia. But it didn't click with me. It was go fast, turn left. And then my buddy Mark took me to a bar and I got there and we talked about Jeff Gordon in the last segment. I remember, I can't tell you what race it was. I can't tell you what track it was. All I can tell you is that while we were in this bar, at one point, Jeff Gordon charged out to a lead. And the place went crazy in a bad way. Boo! And I very distinctly remember them saying things about Jeff Gordon that would catch you a 2-game suspension from the Boston Red Sox. Like, it was pretty bad. I was like, oh, Mark, why? Why did everybody suddenly get mad? And he explains to me, hey, Jeff Gordon, he's a California guy. Sunshine's from California, y'all. He's like, it's not the Southern archetype, right? He's not your traditional NASCAR driver. He's from California. He drives a car with rainbow paint motif. He speaks eloquently. He's not a traditional NASCAR guy. And I went, and that just makes people mad. And he goes, yeah. And I went, I'm a Jeff Gordon fan now. For no other reason than I knew if I rolled up in there and cheered for Jeff Gordon, I was going to make it awkward. And that's fun for me sometimes. So then now I got a rooting interest. Now I got no connection to Jeff Gordon at all. I'd been to California once for like 2 days for a crawfish boil. Outside of that, never been to California. No love for California. No connection to it. Didn't go to the same school as Jeff Gordon. None of that, right? I did none of those things. But now I have a rooting interest. And then you could get me to the bar. Because even if it wasn't for the racing, even if it was just to go to walk in my Jeff Gordon t-shirt and watch people side-eye me and talk smack, fine, good for me. And now all of a sudden I love the sport. Now I'm hooked. Now I'm in, right? So how do you get more people in? Number one, I think you kind of emphasize. You know what this reminds me of? And then I want to get to the marketing strategy because Lonzo came up with a beautiful marketing strategy to get a guy over. What this reminds me of, do you remember a couple of years ago, ESPN, I think it was ESPN, ESPN used to do a segment on their NFL show, Lonzo, called Jacked Up. And basically, it was the biggest hits from the NFL that week, right? They come in on Monday. I think it was during Monday Night Football or Monday Night Countdown on ESPN, and they'd bring on Boomer and Randy Moss and whoever else was doing the show that day. And they would show from the weekend the biggest hits from the NFL season. And every time somebody would go, everybody on the show would go, he got jacked up. And that was the thing. And then that was about the same time that the NFL started realizing that those uber violent collisions, they're kind of dangerous. And that's when the rules started going in about, all right, you can't hit guys in the head. You know, you can't hit defenseless receivers.
You can't hit them in the legs. You can't hit them in the midsection. You can't hit them in the groin. You can't hit them in the backside.
Well, you don't want them to lose a groin.
Well, yeah, you can't hit them in shoulders. You can't hit them. Well, you can hit them in the arms, I think, but not in the hands. I don't know where you can hit them, but there's a place in there somewhere.
And while that non-joke is appreciated, aren't we? I think we're. This is why I brought it up. It kind of feels like we're having the same conversation with NASCAR right now, right? Like they took that out. They didn't take all of that out of football, but they did try to minimize the most dangerous collisions. But the most dangerous collisions are the ones that made you go, oh, that hurt. The NFL took a lot of that away. Kind of feel like we're in the same spot here to some degree, right? Like, on one hand, I would not disagree with you to think that a certain element of demolition derby in NASCAR would absolutely make the sport more entertaining, right? It just would. On the flip side, a little bit dangerous. And on top of that, those wrecks make races way longer. If they got to go out there every 10 laps and bring out the wrecker and tape, you know, tow a car off the track, and they gotta pull pieces and parts of cars off the track and dry up oil and gas that got everywhere and yada yada yada, it makes the race longer. And now all of a sudden, what should be a 3-hour race is now a four and a half. I'll tell you a quick story. 2 years ago, the 600 up in Charlotte. The lady friend came with me. Her first big time NASCAR race. We went up there. There were a bunch of cautions. It ended up being the longest race in NASCAR history. It was like 5.5 hours. Her, and I brought her brother. Now, her brother's a NASCAR guy, so he knew what he was in for. But her and her brother, we got like 50 laps to go, and they're like, we're out, dude. I'm done with this. It's been 5 hours, right? Can't have that. Can't have that. She is now put off to NASCAR. Somebody that I probably could have gotten to come to a lot of races over the years, with Atlanta one way and Charlotte the other, even though I've told her, you pick the anomaly. It was the longest race that's ever happened. You come to the Roval in October, it's a much shorter race. Much shorter race. She's like, nah, it wasn't for me. Wasn't for me. I might could have won her over if it was a great race. But it wasn't. And it was because of, A, it's a 600-mile lap. It's already the longest race on the track, on the circuit. But B, there was a lot of wrecks in this race that they kept having to stop the race to fix it up. And it got boring for her. And now she's out. So I think that's a problem. So how do you market it? How do you get it back? How do you make it back? Well, one of those things is lean into your bad guys. Lean into your bad guys. Lean into the guys that do stuff like this and make them a personality while also making sure they understand there's a lot of guys on the track that aren't bad guys. And they're coming for you now, Austin Dillon. And Lonzo, during the break, Tracy said, the three car does three car things. And I said, yeah, but does that make him the bad guy? I mean, it's kind of written right there. His last name is Dillon. You could call him Austin Villain. It's right there. Tracy said he's not good enough to be the villain. And Lonzo said it would be if you stuck a 1-6 after his number, a 16 after his number. He would literally be Austin 316, which means that Austin Dillon should start the next race during driver introductions. And now the driver of the number 3 Hendrick Motorsports, Austin Dillon. And Dillon walks out, grabs the mic. Logano, Hamlin, Austin 316 says I just wrecked your ass. And then walk to the pits and that's it. That's it. Tell me now I'm not locked in. I'm not locked. Just, you should have two cameras now. You should have big cam that shows the race. And you should have Austin Villain cam that's just on the three car. Just put him in a little small square up in the corner, put Dillon cam, and just follow number 3 around the track while he knows that 20 is out there looking for him, 11 is out there looking for him, the teammates of 20 and 11 are out there looking for him. Everybody's out there looking for that 316 car. Because he just said, Austin Dillon 316 says, I just wrecked your ass. Lean into the bad guy. Make it a thing. Hey, Jim Harbaugh last year was bad for college football, the game. But he was great for eyeballs on the game. He was bad for what happens on the field. That team cheated a lot. We all agree, right? I don't have to ask Lonzo. I know his answer. I'll ask the Armada. We all agree Michigan cheated a lot last year, right? We all agree. Whether it's something that everybody does or not, we all agree they cheated a lot last year, right? And yet, when Michigan made it into the college football playoff, what happened? We were all locked in. Because what were we looking for? Retribution. Comeuppance. Everything is wrestling. Everything is wrestling. We were looking for the bad guy, for the heels, to get their retribution, to get their payback, to get their comeuppance. And guess what? Sometimes the bad guy wins. And the bad guy won. But the eyeballs were there. And a lot of that was because we were looking to see, does this coach who got suspended not once but twice, does he get beat? Does he lose in the most painful way? Or does the bad guy win and get away with it? And he did. Not only did he win and get away with it, but then he walked with the title. He took the belt, right? Austin Dillon in NASCAR could be that spot right now. He could be in that spot. Come out, be a bad guy, talk smack, and let's see what happens. Amazon guy said, taking my mom to her bucket list race this year, the Bristol Night Race in September. Amazon guy, you're going to have a ball, bro. That's going to be spectacular. We'll talk more about this later on in the show. We got the water cooler cheat sheet coming up next. That's all after Lonzo flashes you.
By God, that's Austin Dillon's music. The college football AP Top 25 was released yesterday with very few surprises at the top. The Georgia Bulldogs are number one, collecting 46 first-place votes, outpacing number two, Ohio State, with 15, and third-place Oregon with one. Texas and Alabama round out the top five, followed by Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Penn State, Michigan, and FSU. Clemson was ranked 14th, one spot behind LSU and one ahead of Tennessee. New York Jets edge rusher Hassan Reddick has requested a trade from the team after a contract standoff. The former Carolina Panther has missed 3 weeks of camp so far, which has cost him over $1.7 million. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun. Diesel's on vacation, Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.